Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football and some high school ball on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We bring in longtime sportscaster John Telich, who joins us. And JT, first and foremost, I got to say, I really enjoyed this past week's Friday night touchdown. It was the first time I had gotten to tune into the whole thing for the first time in a couple of weeks now. And you and the boys, man, you guys had me hooping and hollering throughout most of that program. That was good stuff.
We really had a blast, and we've been blessed so far this year, Rocco, with the weather, and obviously you know firsthand because you're out doing games as well. So Friday night was another picture-perfect night, a great night to fly the helicopter. It was fun to be on the air with the guys, and a lot of our viewers were upset at the corporate fight between one of the streaming services and our corporate owners. And that's why we weren't on some systems for a while, but we're back on them all, and we're happy about that. And it was this high school year is just flying by. It's just absolutely insane. Already week 7.
Yeah, hard to believe. And we'll certainly circle back to some high school football before we get out of here. But let's talk some Cleveland Browns, man. What a butt-whooping they served the Tennessee Titans this past Sunday, 27-3, drubbing Mike Vrabel and friends right out of town. And, I definitely do want to talk about the defense for obvious reasons, as that side of the ball has been just electric to start the season. Shout out to Jim Schwartz. But looking at Deshaun Watson in the offense, I think it's safe to say that was the best we've seen number four since he's become a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, you didn't know what to expect, Rocco, coming on the heels of that horrific injury that Nick Chubb suffered. I think a lot of Browns town was kind of in shock for a few days. And then we got word mid to late week that it appears that Nick's injury is not as catastrophic as we all looked at it when we saw it happen live on the air. And so that kind of that made everybody feel better. You knew going in that there were ways to attack the Titans defense, but you still had that kind of lingering doubt perhaps in the back of your mind. Will we see the old Deshaun Watson, or will we see some of the stuff we've seen so far this year and, of course, in the last six games last year? This was by far, I thought, his best game. I thought he was much more decisive with the football, and the numbers don't lie. 27-33 for 289, should have been over 300 if not for that bonehead official's ruling on the sideline to Amari Cooper. And he looked decisive. He looked like a guy who made quicker decisions to get rid of the football, threw some nice balls into tight windows, and he just looked like he was in command there, except for that one brain fart he had, apparently, when he tried to throw the ball. I don't know where. He was like, Simone Biles, like forgetting which was up or which was down in the middle of a ball, and he decided to throw it backwards as opposed to forwards. It was very strange, but, he gets a pass on that one. I'm not going to bury him for it. I thought he played a real good game. And it has to be nice, though, if you're in offense, knowing that you better be on the sidelines getting, whatever adjustments that need to be made done rather quickly, because you're probably going to go back in there in three plays with the way this defense is playing this year, which is just absolutely incredible so far.
Well, let's talk about that defense, JT, as Jim Schwartz, Myles Garrett, and friends. I mean, they were legitimately toying with the Tennessee Titans, it felt like. And I say that because I'm sure you've seen the social media clip of Myles quite literally ping-ponging from one side of the defensive line to the other with two Tennessee Titan tight ends following him the whole way, eventually forcing Mike Vrabel to take a timeout. I mean, I think that in and of itself just kind of speaks to what this Browns defense is doing to people this year.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone on social media to kind of speed that up and then put some like Keystone Cops music to it, because and then just put that thing on loop. Just Myles goes from one side to the other, followed not by one tight end but two tight ends, and he goes back and forth. It was you have to feel for all the quarterbacks that have faced this defense so far this year. One is the top five quarterback in Joe Burrow, who did not look good when the Browns played Cincy. Then you had Kenny Pickett, and then this past week, Ryan Tannehill. That was just it was an incredible performance, Rocco. And if our listeners like stats, I think I could throw a few at you. You only gave up 94 yards and just 6 first downs. The Titans averaged 2.1 yards per play, and here's a few things that just were mind-boggling to note what the defense has done so far this year. In three games, they are averaging giving up just 3.2 yards per play in three games. And the rate that they have gone on the field and performed a three and out is astonishing. I mean, it's so much better than the next best team in the National Football League. Of all their times they've gone out there, they have performed three and outs in 61% of the drives that they've faced. And I think there's been something like 30-some drives. I'm not sure the exact number. And then these are all firsts in the NFL so far this year in defense. Yards per game, 163. Rushing yards a game, 52. Pass yards a game, 111. First downs a game, 7. They've averaged giving up 7 first downs per game, which is just crazy. And then the third down rate, basically 1 in 5, 19.5% that they have allowed first downs. Did you notice on Sunday, Rocco, every time I looked up, it was a third down. It was third and, you know, it was not like less than 5. It was like 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 11. Every time they were facing a third down, it was just insane. And then, of course, they're giving up 10.7 points per game. It's just, they're on a historic run right now. They've done this. They did it this past Sunday without Greg Newsom. And everything is, it's a defense that's really synced up, and it all points back to Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz has those boys flying around, no question about that. As again, we're joined this morning by John Telich on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. A nice gesture by Kevin Stefanski after the game, delivering the ball to Nick Chubb. What'd you think about that?
I thought that was beautiful, and you know, he is the heart and soul of Cleveland, and universally loved and respected, not just by, you know, everybody in the organization, but the fan base, and then the entire National Football League. I mean, you saw so many social media posts by stars all over the NFL that they just love and respect what Mr. Chubb, Nicholas Jamal Chubb, as we love to call him, has been able to do. And it's great to get the news, and it also tells you that this guy is made of some really different stuff, mm-hmm. because for him to do to the same knee that he did when he was at Georgia, mm-hmm. and then for us to find out that his ACL wasn't torn, but it was stretched.
Right.
He did tear a couple ligaments, but, I mean, the initial word is that it's not as catastrophic as before. And I just thought it was a great thing that Kevin did, and that's right up his alley, per se, because I think he knows in his heart of hearts who the heart and soul of the Cleveland Browns is. So it's just nice that they went out there and didn't allow something that was so mind-numbing and hurtful that they witnessed their own, you know, one of their best players in football being injured in the way that he was, and for them to come out and just ball out on all three sides of the football mm-hmm. on Sunday, that was impressive.
Yeah, no question. And, yeah, again, certainly a fantastic gesture from Stefanski delivering that ball to Chubb. Wish him a speedy recovery. That was, great news. Like you said, JT, ACL, just a hyperextension of it. And, again, with the torn ligaments, but not as catastrophic as some may have initially thought. So very good news there. As now the Brown and Orange turn their attention towards those Ravens of Baltimore. They'll be in town this Sunday, 1 o'clock kick. Baltimore, kind of a head-scratching loss to Gardner Minshew in the Indianapolis Colts this past week. I couldn't believe that one at all.
Yeah, it was strange. It also goes back to there was one time there where they decided to fair catch a ball towards the end, which gave essentially another timeout to the Colts in the final 2 minutes of that game. They lost in a tight one, 22-19. You saw Tucker miss, although it was a long field goal try, but Tucker mm-hmm. missing a long field goal try. Baltimore's banged up. You know, I could list some of the injuries. It seems like that's been their chapter and verse in the last couple of years, where they're, you know, they have enough injuries that more than enough for any team to kind of stomach. But yet somehow they find a way, you know, to win games. Didn't happen for them, obviously, this past week. But they'll come into Cleveland, and obviously Lamar is a real big challenge because of the ability he has to use his legs. You can certainly say in the first 3 weeks they did not face guys that are known as mobile quarterbacks per se. Certainly Joe Burrow with his calf wasn't going anywhere. Kenny Pickett the same, not because of a calf, but he's just not super duper mobile. And then Ryan Tannehill was just, you know, he was just fending for his life back there with Miles and the guys going after him. So this week, you know, the Browns, how they attack will be have to be even more disciplined. You know, try to keep Lamar in the pocket. Don't let him escape on the run. And it's going to be just a raucous crowd. I looked at the weather. It looks like in the 70s and gorgeous, kind of like it was this past Sunday.
All right.
It should be an awesome, day. On the lakefront with the quote unquote dirty birds in town against the Brownies.
Always looking forward to this AFC North rivalry. It's always fun when these two meet up. So Browns Ravens this Sunday 1:00. Certainly looking forward to seeing how that one plays out again. Ravens coming off a very tough loss to the Colts last week. Gardner Minshew and friends handing them the L. So certainly see how the Browns do against them this time around. JT on the high school front. We got to talk some high school ball before I let you go.
Yep.
Another excellent week of excitement up ahead as we're here in what, week 7 already? Man, hard to believe not the tail end of the season, but second half of the season. Our three games on WEOL are as follows. We got North Ridgeville and Midview on the radio in Stream 1, Port Clinton and Vermilion on Stream 2, and then our Medina County matchup on Stream 3 will feature those battling bees of Medina as they take a visit on over to Strongsville to take on the Mustangs. I myself have some attention turned down towards Summit County as Archbishop Hoban takes on my Walsh Jesuit Warriors, a battle of unbeatens there. Ed's and Iggy this Saturday, going to be a fun one. I'm sure you'll have some more thoughts on that, JT, but ultimately just a great week 7 ahead.
Yeah, it really looks like a fun one, and I concur with you. I'm really excited to see what Coach Alexander and the Walsh Warriors can do against Hoban. And, you know, Walsh is just – their program has just been zipping along in the last couple of years, and I like what Coach Alexander has done there. So it'll be a heck of a match, a heck of a football contest. Other games to just also throw out as well, there's Highland at Kent Roosevelt. You have Elyria, Avon Lake, and Avon is taking on Berea Mid-Park. We'll keep that in mind. But we certainly would be remiss if we looked ahead to this weekend and did not mention the Week 7 matchup. It's the Holy War. It's Ed's and Ignatius. This is the first time that Coach Franzinger will be coaching in an Ed's Ignatius game in a Holy War. And, you know, he's been trying to get the fortunes of the Ignatius Wildcats to be what they were in the heyday of the Chuck Kyle regime, as it were. And they're facing Eds, who's playing very well this year, although they did get beat by Massillon recently by a couple of points. Same thing that happened to them a year ago. They lost to Massillon, but then still went on and won the championship in Division One in Ohio. So, you know, I'm excited to just see what Franzinger and his Ignatius Wildcats can do against Eds, how they approach this game that is such a huge one on the calendar every year for both of these schools in the Holy War.
You know, looking at Ignatius's record, I don't think it's quite indicative of how good of a football team that they potentially are. And I haven't seen them in person, so I can't really sit here and act like I know everything about them. But again, just looking at the schedule, man, they've taken on some tough competition this year. I mean, they beat McKinley the opening week, but their past two losses, man, Toledo Central Catholic and Archbishop Hoban. Again, I think they're probably a better team than the record might indicate.
Yeah, I did see them in person early in the year when they brought in Pittsburgh Central Catholic, and still early in the season, they didn't really seem to be in sync on some aspects, and Pittsburgh Central Catholic really played a tremendous game. There was a running clock in the second half, which is just astonishing to say when you look at the fact that it was Ignatius that was the team that was down in the running clock scenario as opposed to the team in the lead. But, you know, they obviously have tried to move on from that and try to make their strides. But this will be the first Holy War for the young coach. Obviously, Tom Lombardo's got several under his belt and state titles to choose from. So, and I can still remember the last time they played. It was, you know, it was Chuck Kyle's final game in the playoffs a year ago. And that was how they sent him off into "quote unquote" retirement when the St. Ed's Eagles took command in that second half and beat Ignatius by a few scores. So, going to be exciting to see what happens in this game. I always look forward to see how that Holy War pans out.
Fun week 7 ahead in high school football this Friday night. Buckeyes off this Saturday after the big-time win over Notre Dame this past Saturday. And then, obviously, the Brownies got the Ravens this Sunday at 1 o'clock. So certainly looking forward to a football-filled weekend here on WEOL and elsewhere. So, JT, thank you for the time. As always, my friend, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the week and enjoy the action this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. Good luck to the Browns this weekend. And, Rocco, I will talk to you in October.